from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that ideally I'll give you freedom from tossing and turning, or whatever's keeping you awake, a freedom of distraction. But I want to thank George Michael for the song Freedom, because it comes up in this episode, but also, you know, I'm here to help, I'm free to be confused, because I always am, and you know why? Because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And remember, when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. But this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, which just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message, or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, everybody. I'm going to be talking to Stan later in the show about our new sponsor, Quip, which is an electric toothbrush that Sophia and I have been using in our personal life before. We've been Quip customers for over 2 years. So I'm excited to work with Quip. I'm excited for you to get a Quip. So make sure to listen to the spot in the middle of the show here where I talk to Stan about I give Stan a toothbrush. But you can get your own Quip. You just go to getquip.com/sleep. You'll get your first refill pack for free with your Quip electric toothbrush. That's getquip.com/sleep. GETQUIP.com/sleep. But don't miss Stan talking about a toothbrush. I mean, what could be better, right? Thanks, everybody. Mystery Bard, who else works on this show? Like, a lot of people help out on the show, right?
This posty poster song sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at Sleep With Me Podcast. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. That's Jonathan Mann, and I'm Matt Deer Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. You can listen to the podcast in your smart speakers. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, time, temperature, travel, whatever is keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off that. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, tangents, like superfluous tangents, extra words. I might go off topic, but really what I'm trying to do is to keep you company. To be your friend and to say, hey, like, listen to this story, listen to my rambles. I want to give you something that's kind of barely nicer to listen to than whatever's keeping you awake at night. Kind of like the pattering of rain on the window. When the pattering of rain on the window is nice, it's nice. But then when there's other times where you say, what's up with the rain? I got practice, or I got to go somewhere, or my socks are already wet. But there are times when that pattering's just right, or maybe not. Maybe have we romanticized pattering? Maybe I'll come back to that. I know I like to talk about pattering every once in a while. But first, let me get to you new listeners. If you're new, I'm glad you're here. Let me give you the structure and what to expect. So this podcast is a really different. It's goofy. It's counterintuitive, and it involves a lot of me talking and circular logic and over-talking, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So if you kick back and you kind of listen loosely and you give it a few tries, that's like over the millions and millions and millions of listens and people I've heard from. Is kind of seems like give it a few tries and see how it goes. But I hope it helps you fall asleep. I make the show because I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. Structurally, what to expect. The show starts off with business. That's how we keep the show free and going and cover some of our costs. And then there's an intro, which we're kind of like 2 minutes into. The intros are usually about 12 minutes or so. And they're a show within a show. And a lot of the long-term listeners fall asleep during the intro or get ready for bed during the intro. And they're a big fan of it. It's kind of, show within a show, a friendly monologue where I demonstrate my inability to get to the point. I say, okay, the point of the intro is to introduce the podcast. And that takes me 12 minutes. I think maybe you're catching on. But it's really just to say, hey, this is a safe place that's here to help you. Hopefully I become a familiar friend that's sitting there across the room. Your bore friend, your bore bud, your bore bae, your bore bestie, your bore bud, your bore bra, your bore sib, whatever it is. I'm here to help. So that's the intro. Then tonight we'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation in a kind of indirect and meandering way. I'll kind of do a little bit of a recap. I'll look up some stuff that came up in the episode and, you know, say, huh, who was that actress? Or what did that word mean? And a lot of times I'll be reading my notes because I watch the episode usually like 3 or 4 or 5 times. Star Trek, I watch it a little bit more, and then I'll take a lot of notes, and I'll try to read off my notes. So we'll be talking about that, and ideally it's just interesting enough to, like I said, take your mind off stuff, but not interesting enough to really grip or engage you. And if you're not familiar with Star Trek, it'll barely resemble Star Trek, so that's a positive. But if you love Star Trek, you'll say, oh, wait, I kind of remember that. But Scoots is still talking about Reg Barkley, and he doesn't know, you know, his Heisenberg compensator from his, you know, rear. So even I can drift off. But I'm also here all the way to the end because there are listeners that can't fall asleep. So I'm here to keep you company whether you're awake or asleep, whether you fall asleep in the first few minutes or you're here all the way to the very end. Or I'm here to help you. Some people listen 8 hours a night every night, or they have it running. Some people wake up, or some people are traveling. You know, you can wait. Whatever it is, I'm here to help. I think the other things are you don't really need to listen to me. You can just kind of barely pay attention. You can pay attention, or you can lower the volume so I'm just a murmuring. Whatever works for you. But I also don't want you to feel any pressure to fall asleep because I want you to take your time. That's why the shows are about an hour. It's just so you can fall asleep whenever you wish or as you drift off. You know, kind of like the pitter-pattering of rain, as I was saying. Like, if you're listening to it, I don't know. I guess maybe we have we idealized the patter of rain? Rain patters. Rain matters. That's just something my brain just said to me. He said, what are you, like a rain sloganeer? I mean, I do remember, I don't know if this was years ago or like in the last 6 to 12 months. And I will check in with listeners that have new pets or are thinking about getting a pet, is to encourage you, if you're getting two pets at the same time, please consider calling them Pitter and Patter. Especially if they're like, I had gerbils. I had gerbils. I had a gerbil, and my brother Carl had a gerbil. We did not name them Pitter and Patter. We named them Chitter and Squeaker. But I think Pitter and Patter, or like two dogs, I don't know. And then, like I said, with dogs, I think I've gone through this. Maybe they would pitter and patter when you call them. So that's a recommendation. But I was thinking about, I don't know, can you romanticize rain? Should that be a book I write in the next 180 years? Well, there could be a different book. So, Romantic Rain. Oh, boy, I just saw the one. Then we could do a romance. Romantic Rain, R-E-I-G-N. My Days with the Khaleesi would not be what it would be subtitled, but... Maybe Jon Snow, maybe Tyrion would more, and then there's romanticized rain. There could be one with, like, because I know on a lot of, when I was a librarian, we would get a lot, romances were popular, and there's different Harlequin series or styles of Harlequin books, and some were outdoors, so there could be romantic Maine. In romantic, we could have M-A-N-E, then you could have Maine, like, we met at a water main break, holy cow, that's where it all started, Romantic Maine, and then also a town, but that could be an ongoing series, maybe, Romantic Maine, M-A-I-N-E, the state of Maine, I don't know. Are any, is the Hallmark Channel taking submissions? Because I already submitted my idea for the Happy Christmas Shop, which I'll be doing the holiday season serial series about that. But what about that? I could do a series called Romantic Maine, and it could be episodic, like very similar to those episodic shows of the 80s and the 90s, where it's a town in Maine. And it's only bed and breakfast. You get it. Maybe that would, like, you get into town and you say, well, there's nothing here but bed and breakfast. Only romance in Romantic Maine. I mean, or it could be an ironic title, of course. I hear Frasier's getting rebooted. So we could, maybe I could write some fan fiction, Romantic Cane. And also maybe Candy Cane, maybe like at a candy cane factory. I thought I was going to talk about rain, but we're thinking about using romantic in words that rhyme with rain. Romantic Crane, the true story of two bird watchers who fell in love and solved the mystery of the great whooping crane. I think that's, could I do that as a fictionalized autobiography? I think that's probably the best one I've come up with so far. If it was true, we could probably submit it to Lauren and Phoebe on This Is Love, like Romantic Crane. I mean, I like the idea of two bird watchers and love, but I would prefer if it was like there was like a second subtitle where it linked to some sort of scientific breakthrough. Because you're just, I mean, I guess I'm big on double and triple subtitles to explain what I'm, so Romantic Crane, Romantic Rain. What about, here's another possible, if no one takes Romantic Maine, what about Romantic Rain? Like the idea, what if I'm like, what if there's like, maybe it could have some sort of supernatural element too, positive kind. Where we bewitch a cloud, and wherever it rains, romance follows. Okay, Cupid just called me right in those 2 seconds there and said, no, that's my job. Don't mess. And they'd say, what if we team up? Cupid, what if I hire you, Cupid? You play yourself, and you shoot one of your heart arrows into the cloud. That could be the whole story. One day, you know, you say, I'm sick of flying around with these wings. Also, I'm like a baby in a diaper. Sometimes it gets cold up there. Maybe we get you a nice warm fleece parka or something. And you know, maybe you take a vacation. We could put you in a bathtub. You don't want a bath. You don't need, okay, don't act like you're in a diaper. It's just a suggestion. And you shoot the clouds, and then it's romantic rain. Think it's been done before? I don't think so. Romantic rain in Maine? No, too many. Okay. Well, I'll get back to you. Are you open to that idea, though? Romantic Jane. I don't get it, Cupid. It's about a character named Jane. Okay. Well, you could write that. Is it from, like, Jane's perspective? You don't know. Okay. Well, that's great. Romantic Shane. Okay, this is actually a sleep podcast, believe it or not, Cupid. Thank you for coming by. Let me know on Romantic Rain. Oh, Romantic Blaine. Many romances of David Blaine. Okay, well, we'd need that's. I think that's like both a real person and a brand. We'd have trouble with that. So you could write it because you're. What are you, a demigod? Okay, you got to go. By the way, Have you ever gotten any like orders for me? Because I've never. Okay, I'm out. Thanks. I'll see you later. Thanks for your time, Cupid. So those are just a couple of things that popped in my head. Anyway, sorry, I went off topic there. But you know, I hope this podcast is like maybe you just experienced it when I went off those tangents. Is a bit like the pattering of rain. You're kind of passively listening to it. Maybe it's triggering a neutral or positive response where you say, yeah, it's not so bad. Let me listen to that pattering, the pittering and the pattering. Now, if you have pets named Pitter and Patter, you don't want them pittering and pattering when you're trying to sleep. Oh, I think that's what I came up with on one intro was the patter method. Because there's like which is like to patter yourself a little bit. So maybe it's kind of like patting yourself, but you're imagining, like, so just go ahead and touch one of your shoulders and do a little pattering. Two fingers, I think, is what we decided with pattering. And just, you know, say, hey, it's good job being human. And so that's kind of the intro. That's, I guess that's a metaphor for the show. I'm not exactly sure how, but I think I demonstrated, and maybe I distracted you. But I'm here to help. I've been there in the deep, dark night. That's why I make this show. I appreciate you coming by. I work very hard, and I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. So let's see how it goes. And here's a couple ways we keep the show going. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, hey everybody, we're talking Season 6, Episode 12, Ship in a Bottle, Star Trek The Next Generation. And it starts off with Data in a smoking jacket, which you really can't go wrong with. That's how I like to order my Data. But he's Holmes, Sherlock Holmes. The time is 3:55, it looks like, on the clock, or 11:20 above the fireplace. Data has a pipe between, clasped between his lips as his teeth even hit it, like making that click sound. There's smoke. Geordi's there. Is Watson. Maybe a fold-down desk. Can't read this. Arvar. That's what it looks like. My handwriting says. A-R-V-E-V-E. Maybe an I. A-R-I. Arrive, maybe? Who is the third person? I don't know. There's a turtle on the second level of the table. There's a lot of good stuff in this, the set. There's a sculpture, there's a lamp, a cane lamp with the her before it. There's also a portrait on the wall. I couldn't figure out whose portrait it was above the fireplace. I'm looking at it now. A couple different portraits. One could be, well, I don't know, maybe, who knows? Is it Arthur Conan? And we have some left or right discussion as Data tosses the third person. Let's see who, if it's just a third person. As Data's in the middle of, like, solving things, as Holmes. But then he says, hey, what's up the spatial orientation detective? The thing is off on the computer. And it must be nice to be an officer because they just say, Barkley, what's going on? We're trying to play around here. With a Sherlock Holmes adventure, Geordi calls Reginald Barclay, Reg, for short. He says, fix this. Come on. We're trying to have some fun. Like, what kind of, they're on the holodeck. And then they leave. I also noticed they left in dress, like dressed up as a character. So they, I did have a question of, like Barclay runs to try to fix the holodeck. But I said, do they, what do they call that when you materialize it, like the 3D printer thing they have? But I forgot what it's called. But it, like, does that make their uniforms every time? Do they dematerialize their uniforms? Do they have them in a closet somewhere? Who's in charge of Sherlock Holmes clothes and the Watson clothes? Is it like they each have them in their own closets? So those are important. I mean, those are important questions to me. Do they throw them out when they're done? Reg tries to work on Sherlock Holmes 3A. Then James Moriarty shows up. There's protected memories trying to unlock it. I'm Professor James Moriarty. He's a lefty. And he's a good catch. He catches with his left hand. So his spatial recognition isn't off. And he says, where's Captain Picard? And Barkley is like, "What? How do you know Captain Picard?" And Moriarty goes, "You don't know who I am?" And he goes, WTF. Barkley's like, "Wait, you know who you are? That doesn't make any sense because you're a holodeck character. How do you know you're a holodeck character?" And he says, "I was made as a toy, a plaything for Commander Data to masquerade as Sherlock Holmes. And they made me too well, so I became self-aware. I'm alive, buddy." He starts singing that song. "I got a little story for you. What you thought was Moriarty was nothing but a holodeck, not just a holodeck character." And he goes, "I want out of the holodeck." Barkley goes, "No, this is the only place you can exist." He goes, "How long have you been gone?" "For years." He goes, "Seemed longer than that. It's not pleasant being a holodeck character in the mainframe or whatever." I wonder if there was any Star Trek The Next Generation fan fiction about Moriarty's time in the computer or after this episode. I'm sure maybe somebody wrote it, or maybe they didn't. Maybe some poetry. But it'd probably be better as poetry, like Moriarty's poetry as like trying to exist in the computer's memory. As Moriarty becomes more self-aware. And let's see, "Meet me in the sitting room at Baker Street. I'll have to stare your blocks and music out." He appears and smiles and has an idea. Maybe that's what he told Barkley to tell Commander Picard to meet me. He goes, Picard promised to get me out of here. He doesn't keep his promises. And Barkley goes, "Oh, no, he does. So I got a job here." And then he says, "Meet me in Baker Street." And Barkley goes, "Okay, let me put you back in storage. I got to go." And as soon as Barkley puts him back in storage, Moriarty disappears. But kind of he blanks out. But then there's music, which is ominous. And then he reappears and smiles. He's up to something, old Moriarty. Then the episode opens. It's Stardate 46424.1, maybe. They're in the Dytrian system. Let's take a look. The Dytrian system. The planets are running into each other. They're going to a couple of gas giants. It's kind of like me. I'm like a bit like a hot gas planet. It fills my hot air, not that other gas. They say it's going to be a self-sustaining fusion reaction is what we're probably going to see. And the birth of a new star, which I didn't realize stars could come from gas planets crashing. And they're going to say, let's observe this. Maybe this is the first time. I think it must be a big deal. They're collecting data, starburst. Barkley comes, he's under stress. He's great. We'll talk about Barkley and the betrayal of Reg Barkley later. Because you won't believe it. They got Professor Moriarty down there, self-aware. It just appeared there. He wants to talk to the captain. I think he maybe told us to Geordi, actually. And then, what does that say? Cuford, Oford, Data, Barkley, Picard, at holodeck. So maybe cut two. I think that says cut two. Data, Barkley, and Picard are at the holodeck. And they say, hey, what's up, dude? And Moriarty says, what's up? How come you haven't come to get me? And he goes, we didn't forget about you. We just couldn't figure it out. It's a mystery. And we've been working with Starfleet's on it, not us anymore. We needed theoretical scientists. And they couldn't even figure it out. So Picard goes, Barclay told me you could feel the passing of time. I'm sorry. We didn't think that, we thought you'd be in, you know, in static memory. And Moriarty kind of puts Picard on a guilt trip. He goes, you know what? I don't believe anything you say anymore. Let's see. Story all about that. Professor takes a book to SH. I don't know what that means. Let's see what I can learn from the transcript. He goes, you're just going to take off again, and I'm going to be stuck here in this computer. I want to get out of the room. And Picard goes, you can't exist outside the holodeck. Moriarty goes, are you sure? Oh, and then Picard tosses, he says, open the door. And then he throws a book off the holodeck, and it vanishes. And Moriarty says, well, I'm not a book. I'm a professor. Throws it out. An object versus Kasoner's will be, he knows. Picard playbook. Let's see. He says, Picard goes, you're a computer simulation. And he goes, no, I'm conscious and I have will. He goes, I have a mind and that gives me some existence. I can walk into your room right now. Picard goes, don't do it. You'll cease. And he goes, well, then nothing will be lost. Mind over matter. Cogito ergo sum. Or sum. I think, therefore, I am. Right when he says that, he walks right in the hall, does a dramatic turn, and everyone's WTF. They're like, what in the heck? Can't believe it. And great. Also, there's great lamps in that room and great reaction shots when he walks out of the room. Finger up. He holds his finger up when he's out there. I liked that. Then Data goes, hey, Worf, we got a sitch here. Professor Moriarty's walking around really happy. He goes, what are we? I think even Wesley's like, wait a second, is he a human? And oh no, that's Professor Crusher. He goes to the thing to be scanned. Wait, I think I got ahead of myself. Data says, Worf sent some people down here to keep an eye on Moriarty. Picard goes, is this possible? Barclay goes, no. It goes against all physics. And then Picard says, I want Dr. Crusher to check on you. She says, he's human. And she goes, his DNA is a little bit different, but all the system is totally functioning. And Geordi goes, he's as immutable as ordinary matter. So not losing cohesion. And Picard goes, I'm kind of losing some cohesion with all this. And the whole time Moriarty's playing innocent, like totally pandering. He says, I just want to explore this new world, your vessel. What sea are we on? Can we go above deck? And they say, Picard and Crusher look at each other. He goes, let's go to 10 forward. And he looks out the window. He goes, we're adrift in the heavens. And he goes, not adrift. We're a ship traveling through space. And Moriarty goes, well, where's Earth? What's the range? What locomotion? So much for me to learn. And Picard says, you could start reading some books. And Moriarty goes, I got big plans for my life now. I'm out on my own. And Picard goes, well, you're going to have to remain on board for a while where we figure out what the heck is going on. And he goes, well, I don't care. I want to get on with my life. I don't care about you understanding anything. And Picard goes, you know, you got to be up on up. You can't be more like the old Moriarty. And he goes, don't worry, that was fiction. That was just the writings of Arthur Conan Doyle. Now I'm a real holodeck being. And he goes, well, if you're telling me the truth, maybe there is a whole world out there for you to enjoy. And he goes, well, also, he's like, let's see how much I can get out of Picard. He's very happy. 10 forward. Oh, 1346. There's a good, you should pause it. There's a woman dressed like Velma from Scooby-Doo. She has a green and neon orange outfit on. And I had to WTF that. She must be a crew member or a guest. And I like how Moriarty sighs around then. He says, so much to learn. He mashes a flare. He makes a flare at every turn. That's how he's moving around. Picard sits down at one point when they're talking, and it takes a while for Moriarty to sit down. And when he sits down, he says, can I have a favor? Also, I'm in love with the Countess, and I'd like you to kind of give her consciousness too. And he goes, because, you know, then I have someone to spend time with. And Picard goes, no way. Because it goes against everything. He goes, you're a new life form. I can't be messing around. It would give moral and ethical implications. He goes, if we do it on purpose. And Moriarty says, well, is it acceptable for you to deny my love of my love because I love her? And to boss me around? And Picard goes, okay, calm down. We're going to try to keep you comfortable. And Moriarty goes, oh, you're just going to dole out how I have to do things. I'm a power. Oh, you, Picard, please. Oh, whoa. But he's in love with another illusion. He wants another life form or not. Love and distraction. You won't accept it. You hold my future, my happiness. Then they have a staff meeting. Troy's like, she has a good take. She goes, we created her, even though it's only a holodeck. So she goes, maybe we already, and then Professor or Dr. Crusher says it's romantic. But I don't think we should be messing around with it. And Barclay's like, I don't even know what happened. Zoinks. And Data says, by the way, we don't know that this is permanent. I'll have to deal with it. I think Picard says, well, I'll have to deal with him until we know more details. I'll deal with Moriarty. So then something I put, Barclay's just really good. Then Picard, he's in a leg-crossing situation as he gives Moriarty, he's in Moriarty's room. Nice room, by the way. And he goes, we're going to have to postpone things. And Moriarty goes, no postponing. I lived in a computer. And Picard goes, wait a second, why are you in such a hurry? He goes, are you up to something with the Countess? And he goes, she has impeccable integrity. And Picard goes, seems like you love her. And he goes, well, it's fashioned for me to love, but I would have anyway. She's remarkable. I adore her. I love her. And Picard goes, well, then that is just another reason for us to take our time then. Picard's, I think really it is a battle of the minds. Because Picard seems to be sussing things out. He doesn't know exactly what's going on, but he says, okay, what's the hurry? Oh, well, you know, he's countering his logic. Then Riker's like, Captain, you got to get to the bridge. And Riker's like, looks like this planet thing's going to happen. When Picard leaves, though, there's a good Moriarty close-up. He's getting some idea. And they say, launch all the probes. Let's keep an eye on these planets. Command finches are offline. Oh, then they say, command functions are offline. They say, what do you mean? The computer says, yeah, you've locked out. And Moriarty calls. He says, I had no choice but to take control of the computers. And they go, come on, the planets are about to merge. We're right in range. Not a good idea. And Moriarty goes, I can't, not much I can do about it without the Countess to comfort me. And Picard goes, we're working on it. But it goes, this planet thing's going to happen faster. And Moriarty goes, well, now you have a deadline. And Picard goes, Data, you're going to have to really work hard at this one. And then Picard goes, I got to discuss something with somebody. He goes, don't mess with me. They say, we got trouble. Look at these planets. I'm just a fictional character. I want my Countess. Then Barclay, Geordi, and I put Barclay, but I think it's Geordi. Barclay, Geordi, and Data have a meeting about, they're talking about matter cohesion and figuring out the holodeck, transporting the stuff off. This is like when you watch episode 4 or 5 times, you really get to know it. Geordi's like, let's just give up. Let's just accept. I think there's something. Geordi's like too quick to not. He's not super Geordi like. And then Picard comes in. He goes, okay, I got it. He goes, I bought time with Moriarty. We got to get to the bottom of this. And he goes, how did he get control? And Geordi goes, he's the most brilliant man of any century. It really, when you see it a few times, it's a fun scene to watch after you know. He goes, he's a man that's brilliant. That's why. And Picard goes, we'll figure out something, solution, Geordi. Come on, you're supposed to be brilliant. Progress, Mr. LaForge, a small hat. What does that mean? I don't know what that means, a small hat. Small hint, that's what it says. Joy Schultz, oh, that's who plays Barkley, by the way. We'll talk about that. They go back to, he goes, start up at Holmes 3A. This is another hint. They say it's already in use. And Barkley goes, what, who, what? First, then he goes in and he sees the Countess. I was trying to figure out who the actress was at first. And we'll talk about that. She's dressed up in like a coral gown. And she's asking a lot of questions of Barkley. Stephanie Beecham is the actress. She goes, what are you doing? He goes, well, I get these transporter sticks. They got some power. And she goes, what do you think? I can't understand what a transporter stick is. He goes, oh, well, he goes, these are boosters for better signal. And she goes, this is when I go into the real world, right? And she goes, he goes, how do you know about the real world? She goes, oh, James told me about it. We're going on a big adventure. Then she talks about visiting Africa. She says something about the adventures she's had as a character, wearing corset versus wearing trousers, and how much she loved to travel. She can't stay in one place. She's got to travel. Now I'm going to get to travel the stars. And he goes, how can you have consciousness? He goes, you don't sound like a holodeck character. And Moriarty rolls in. Well, she's not. She's human like me. He really loves the discussion, especially the corset. I saw his face. It's something, also a weird face. Then it's Makeout City. Moriarty comes in and they kiss. And Barkley's watching. She also has multiple types of feathers in her hair and different colors in her hat, not in her hair. And they say, yeah, these are the boosters to try. They're going to try to transport this. Isn't Barkley great? And Barkley goes, okay, let's try that. And they say, standing by. And they almost get the chair off. It beams out, but it won't beam back. It lost its cohesion. It was a long shot anyway. No transport. But then Data says, let's check the logs. And the computer says there are no logs of the data. And they go, Data says, what in the heck you mean? What do you mean there's no logs of the data? And Data goes, that's impossible. It's like our attempt never occurred. And then Data clearly knows something's up. They have Picard and Geordi. And Picard totally gets... like a fishing exposition. He just gives his password right to the computer, no questions asked. He goes, yeah, totally. Gave it to my computer, and no questions asked. Go ahead, take full authorization. Remember my password to record it. And Geordi's there, just watching. Data goes, he sees Geordi do something with his hand. It's the wrong hand. He goes, Captain, Commander Picard, we're still in the holodeck. We're not. It's funny because Geordi's a holodeck character. So he has like this funny look, frosted with zeal. I don't know what that means. But he's like, Geordi, who? And he goes, how did you know? Picard goes, how did you know, Data? Data goes, deduction, fools. Like, I used a simple deduction, just like Holmes. He goes, I've deduced it. He breaks it down, the deduction. Deduction, that's my function. And he does a little Sherlock Holmesian rap. And then he goes, if that's true, this isn't Geordi. And Data goes, yeah, hit the road. He throws his communicator towards something and it hits a wall. He goes, then they try to exit, no exit. Picard calls a bridge, where am I? They go, engineering. And Data's like, okay, the simulation could tell where we are in this simulation. He said, then, yeah, this is when they say, excuse us, Geordi, we have to talk. And Picard goes, who's even real here? It was good eyes, because he's definitely like, oh boy, I'm in a simulation. I didn't even realize it. And Data's like, you, me, and Barclay's mostly real. You know, he's a little bit. And Picard goes, I just gave the reason to Picard's eyes. He goes, I just gave my entire password to the simulation. Oops. And they go, well, how long do we got to figure this out? And they go, 3 hours. And he goes, okay, somehow I got to give Moriarty what he wants. Then we have Riker, the real Riker, grilling Moriarty. And Moriarty's like, well, I just want to get off the ship, Riker. Just hurry up and figure it out. But Riker's like, where's Picard, Barclay, and Data? And he goes, I'll give them to you and your ship as soon as you let me out. Your crewmates are in my little ship in a bottle. He gives us another hint. I only want my freedom. Then he hangs up on them. And Worf's like, warp core temperature's rising. And then Moriarty's back or something. He goes, I got nothing to lose. And they say, Geordi, get on it. Figure this out. And then Worf goes, okay, warp core's back down. Picard resume program. He meets the Countess, who's reading. Countess Regina, just like the city in Canada. One of the first podcasts I ever listened to was in Regina. It took place in Regina. I mean, this was in the first days of podcasting. Sagacity is used, a great word. It's a Picard and the Countess talk about, he tries to get to the bottom of love and of, Moriarty. He says, you're wit and sagacity. She goes, well, you have charm and guile, like Viscount Oglethorpe. And she goes, what are you up to? Picard goes, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out. And he goes, how come you like Moriarty? She goes, well, he's exciting. Incisive, ruthless, brilliant, irresistible. And Picard goes, he's not good. And she goes, well, that's just how he's written. I know him differently. And Picard goes, so you want to travel with him? And she goes, yes, please help. He goes, okay, I will. But really, he's like, Picard's brilliant. So he goes, okay, I think if we uncouple the Heisenberg compensators and allow them to randomly rescramble, we could get something off the grid, but don't tell anybody. Because he goes, just keep it our secret. Totally didn't mean to tell you all that. And he goes, I gotta take over the ship. He goes, I need Moriarty to return the voice command to me so I can, or I won't do it. And she goes, it sounds like you're giving us a quip for a quip or something. And he goes, I am responsible for the whole ship. And she goes, oh, I'll see what I can do. And don't worry, I'll totally keep your secret. There's also a photo, cool statues in the room, a radio. It looks like an equalizer. Because I'll do what I can. Geordi and Riker talk about gravity wells. Worf is dealing with force fields. And then they go to the Countess. Countess, of course, tells Moriarty everything. He says, uncouple the Heisenberg compensators, eh? And he goes, he's overconfident. He goes, oh, I got them running around like a bunch. He goes, I totally played them. Played Picard, played everybody. He goes, give me an arch. And he calls Riker, and somebody says, no games, yo. I think Riker, that sounds like something Riker would say. I don't have time for games, Moriarty. And he goes, we got a gravity well sitch here. Moriarty goes, listen close, uncouple those Heisenberg compensators. And they go, okay. And he goes, oh, here we go. We totally tricked them. And Riker goes, oh, we're ready. And they say, step into the transport area. And they say, active and energizing. And they travel to the real Enterprise, Moriarty and the Countess. They think they do. And he says, give me a shuttlecraft and I'll set you free. And Riker says, oh, you totally tricked us. Okay. And they take him to a shuttlecraft. He goes, go to Mellis 2. It's inhabited and friendly. And he goes, then you could go from there. And Moriarty goes, you know, googly googly goo. I totally just say goodbye to the captain for me. Sorry. He didn't realize he was in a holodeck simulation and he got played Moriarty style. Melis 2, can't wait. Can't say, can't wish I could see Picard's face. So schooled. And then Picard Riker says, all right, open the doors, hit the road. And then Moriarty and the Countess are in the shuttlecraft. There's something about interface release. Then he gives Picard's pin back. And the Countess says, can we go back to Earth one day? He goes, yeah, sure, one day, of course. Then we cut back to Picard and Data, and he says, okay, it worked. And then he goes, Data goes, do we have to control the ship back? And he goes, I think they said store the program in memory and stop the simulation. Picard Delta 1, that was the program. And they say, they call Riker. Riker's like, yeah, we got the ship back. And Barclay's like, okay, we should be back in on the holodeck. And they say, okay, everything's back on normal. We're getting away from the planets. And Picard goes, all right, we'll be up soon. And Worf's like, Captain? And he goes, don't worry, Worf, I'm on it. And Worf, let's see, a discontinuous store program. It worked. Yeah, so good. Picard to bridge, Mr. Worf. Barclay grabs this, like, neon disk drive. And they say, how'd you do it? They said, holodeck, the old holodeck within a holodeck. And it's not a disk drive, but actually a computer. It's running inside a cube, a miniature holodeck within a holodeck within a holodeck in the computer circuitry. And it'll keep them going for a lifetime. They put it inside another computer memory box or something, enhancement module. And the only thing was Barclay's in charge of it. So I'm like, is Barclay going to keep this safe? And then we have a humor. They say, don't worry. They'll enjoy their reality. And then he goes all musky on us. He says, after all, we might be a simulation in a device somewhere. But he goes, we got to start a study. He goes, Barclay, keep it safe. And then they leave. And Barclay's left by himself. And he just double checks that he's in reality. He says, in simulation. And it's like, no, you're in reality, Bark. And that's the end of the episode. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that came up on this episode. One is Sherlock Holmes' Data's pipe, which is a calabash pipe. And this is from smokingpipes.com. And I'll just link to it. Let's see who wrote it. Daniel Bumgardner, in September 7th, 2017. It talks about how you've seen it in film, literature, and maybe on a pipe rack, a whimsical, distinctive silhouette. The shape is unique and the story behind it even more so. It's a perfect storm of nature, necessity, colonialism, and shifting social paradigms. It's made from the hollowed-out hull of a calabash gourd. That's how it gets its name. And it goes through a special process, even while the fruit is growing. So it talks about that in the article. It first developed during, when maritime trade routes were disrupted and the briar was in short supply. And when you find a new way to make pipes, bladder, maybe you should just read it, because it's really in-depth and I don't want to paraphrase it, in a way. And so it's a shape that way, one way, because of the gourd that it's from. Another thing was these lamps, these cane lamps, the hurricane lamps. There's a nice article for Emerson Creek Pottery from December 5th, 2017, in the history of these oil lamps with a glass chimney and a control knob, first invented in 1780 by Argand, a Swiss son of a Swiss watchmaker. And it said, oh, wait, a cylindrical wick, which allowed air to flow through and around itself, would produce a brighter light. The glass lamp chimney protected the flame from gusts, and the control knob enabled it to adjust the height of the wick and the strength of the light. And different oils were used as fuel. And this might have been the period of the Enlightenment in which science was being explored for the benefit of mankind, and inventing the prototypical lamp. It would illuminate the world for centuries to come. It got used because it was wind resistant on ships, movies and westerns it's been seen, and in modern times, long into the 20th century, people have used these lamps with kerosene. And even now they get used, of course. And there's a glow of romance surrounding these special lamps and their long history. So that's a cool thing to learn. There's a couple of great articles, more about the first episode of this, the elementary, my dear Data. One is by StarTrek.com, StarTrek.com staff, December 5th, 2016. 20 years later, it's still elementary, dear Data. And it remains one of the most entertaining and fan-favorite episodes. It has, this is the elementary, dear Data episode. It was written by Brian Allen Lane. It builds on the idea of Data being loving Sherlock Holmes, first reference in Lonely Among Us. The writing staff thought that it was in the public domain, but it wasn't. So that added a little bit more to the thing. They did find a compromise, but then they weren't able to go back to it until they, again, until Ship in the Bottle. And Rob Bowman talked about the episode in an interview. He said, we're on the set, and there was a two-shot of LeVar and Brent. Brent's process was to bark a little about a bit about what he had to say before he said it, and it wasn't nearly necessarily reflective that was written. What was written wasn't good. It was just part of his process to say, oh, I can't say this stuff. I can't do it. And then as soon as they said it, he would go right into Data mode. And Data is Sherlock Holmes even. And they said it was mind-boggling how good he was and how he could switch. And then after they cut, he'd say, okay, I'm not so sure about that take, even though it's perfect. And they said, Brent, it was brilliant. And they said, Jesus, it was really unforgettable making those episodes and not being on the set. Daniel Davis discussed Moriarty in another conversation with StarTrek.com. He said, in this incarnation, he kind of has this journey from being arch nemesis to trying to just match Data's intelligence. And he's, you know, there's a big emotional journey in both of these episodes, probably bigger in the first one. I'm going to link to this other one that just describes, like, different shots on the set. It's from Ex Astris Scientia. So that'll be in the show notes. Let's talk Reginald Barclay, because this was my first encounter that I remember. Reginald Endicott Reg Barclay III, portrayed by Dwight Schultz. He's in Next Generation and Voyager. I guess he's a vital role in reestablishing contact between the Starship and Starfleet. Also in the feature film First Contact, coming up with innovative solutions. He deals with some holodeck issues, and that people overlook his, because he's just a little bit different, kind of like Scoots. Sarah Higley created Barclay for her script Hollow Pursuits for Next Generation, and kind of like a play on being a super Trek fan in some sense. She was trying to empower that. So Barclay was in Hollow Pursuits, The Nth Degree, Realm of Stuff, Ship in a Bottle, Genesis. Then in First Contact, Star Trek Voyager, in Projections, Pathfinder, Endgame, So it's also in some of the computer games and the novels. And this is a really, really rich episode. Part of the reason why it's played by Dwight Schultz, who I'm a big fan of from the A-Team. He played Murdoch on the A-Team. Also well-known voice actor, Ben 10, Chowder, Cat Dog. Was born in Maryland. And, he started in the A-Team. He's been in a bunch of movies throughout time. They had a cameo in the movie, but it was cut, but it was in the DVD extras. But just someone I have a positive memory of from being a kid. What about Stephanie Beecham, who I mistakenly thought was someone else when I first saw this episode? Plays the Countess, has also been in the ABC soap opera, The Colbys Dynasty, and many movies. Started in British TV in the 70s, in The Nightcomers, and a bunch of other things. So I had a long and storied career, but for some reason, I thought Stephanie was another actress. At first, I thought it was Jane Seymour, and I said, "What is Jane? Holy cow, no idea." Jane Seymour was on, appeared in Star Trek: The Next Generation, and Jane Seymour to me is best known as Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, which was a Western drama series where she plays Dr. Quinn, who leaves Boston in search of adventure in the old American West and settles in Colorado Springs. It was a series that ran 1993 to 1998, 149 episodes, two TV movies. It was played in over 100 series. It took place in 1867. And Dr. Quinn sets out west to Colorado to set up a practice. And she makes adjustment. She makes friends with everybody who lives there. And helps people. So I think it was a very popular and beloved, procedural show. Colm Meaney was even in it. And they chose Jane Seymour, who had been in a lot of miniseries. They said, "Do you want to be on this? Check out the script and make a decision. Because if you do, we need you to commit to it for maybe a long time." And it was also known for having a high concept storytelling in the historical setting and taking on a lot of social issues and trying to discuss them in a positive way. And other than a great HBO TV Western would, there hasn't really been a big time TV Westerns, though now there's a couple more that we know about. And it was filmed in Paramount Ranch in Agoura Hills. So that's a little bit about Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. What about the word sagacity? That came up, and I wanted to look it up. It means a keen sense of smell or the quality of sage, wise, or the ability to make good decisions, perceptive, astute, or insightful. Sagacity. So, and it's spelled, thank you, S-A... G-A-C-I-T-Y, sagacity. Then freedom was a big theme this episode. It made me think of one of my favorite songs about freedom by George Michael, Freedom exclamation point 90, or just a Freedom, a song written and produced by George Michael. It was the 90 at the end of the title was... Also, was there Wham also had a song, Freedom? I didn't know that. It's the third single from Listen Without Prejudice, Volume 1, and it was a big-time hit. But let's read I love that song. So let's close out the lyrics of Freedom. So good night, everybody. Freedom by George Michael. I won't let you down. I will not give you up. But gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one thing I've got. I won't let you down. So please don't give me up, because I would really, really love to stick around. Oh, yeah. Also, I forgot David Fincher was the one who filmed the video. That's a pretty big deal and amazing. Heaven knows I was just a young boy. Didn't know what I wanted to be. Didn't know what I wanted to be. I was every little hungry schoolgirl's pride and joy. And I guess it was enough for me to win the race, a prettier face, brand new clothes in a big fat place on your rock and roll TV. But today, the way I play the game is not the same, no way. I think I'm going to make myself happy. I think there's one thing you should know. I think it's time I told you so. There's something deep inside of me. There's something, someone else I've got to be. Take back your picture in the frame. Take back your singing in the rain. I just hope you understand. Sometimes the clothes do not make the man. And all we have to do now is take these lies and make them true somehow. All we have to see is that I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me. Yeah, yeah. Freedom, I won't let you down. Freedom, I will not give you up. Freedom, have some faith in the sound. You've got to give for what you take. It's one thing, good thing I've got. Freedom, I won't let you down. Freedom, so please don't give me up. Freedom, because I would really, really love to stick around. You've got to give for what you take. Heaven knows we sure had some fun, boy. What a kick, just a buddy and me. What a kick, just a buddy and me. We had every Big Shot good time band on the run, boy. We were living in a fantasy. We won the race, got out of the place. I went back home, got a brand new face for the boys on MTV. But today, the way I play the game has got to change. Oh, yeah. Now I'm going to make myself happy. I think there's something you should know. I think it's time I stop the show. There's something deep inside of me. There's someone I forgot to be. Take back your picture in the frame. Don't think I'll be back again. I just hope you understand. Sometimes the clothes do not make the man. All we have to do now is take these lies and make them true somehow. All we have to see is that I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me. Yes, yes. Freedom, I won't let you down. Freedom, I will not give you up. Freedom, have some faith in the sound. You've got to give for what you take. It's the one good thing that I've got. Well, it looks like the road to heaven, but it feels like the road to heck. When I knew which side my bread was buttered, I took the butter thing as well. Posing for another picture, everybody's got to sell. But when you shake your boots, they notice fast, and sometimes mistakes were built to last. That's what you get. That's what you get. That's what you get, I say. That's what you get. That's what you get for changing your mind. That's what you get for changing your mind. That's what you get. That's what you get. And after all this time, I just hope you understand. Sometimes the clothes do not make a man. Good night, everybody. I want to thank everybody over on YouTube. Ethan, M. Krantz, Maya, Chloe, O.W., Christopher, LCB, Lazy, thank you. Thanks, and good night, everybody. You, Centurion, Vix, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Stephen, Deborah, Ryan, Almond, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Miriam, Jose, and Prometheus, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Scooter, Lydia and Mila, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Namira, SL and Keith, thank you, thanks, and good night. Jor, Kay and Paige, thank you, thanks, and good night. Vesna, Cal and Ota, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sherlock, one. And Fluffy, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Rahima, Marin, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Paige, Studio, Orla, thanks, and good night. Pinky, Jeremy, and Ordinary, thank you. Thanks, and good night. Ariana, Melanie, and Franchellis, thank you. Thanks, and good night. May, Claire, and Cerna, thanks, and good night. Carol, Quiz, and Mai, thanks, and good night. Chris, MD, Taya, and Lil, thanks, and good night. Blah, ZH, and The Sleepy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Charlano, Kimmy, and Nadine, thanks, and good night. Llamas, Celeste, and Tommy, thanks, and good night. Michaela, Jaime, and Misa, thanks, and good night. Jacob, Deborah, and Leah, thanks, and good night. Shannon, David, and Sam, thanks, and good night. User, Gustavo and Poldo, thanks, and good night. And everybody else in Brazil, Betsy, Galaxy, and Elizabeth, Elizabeth, thanks, and good night. Lafayette, Ashley, and Joe, thanks, and good night. Isaac, Walter, thanks, and good night. Drewbert, X-Pro, and My Music, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show on YouTube. And thanks, and good night. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents and PRX. You can check out everything at nightvalepresents.com and PRX.org. Thanks to all the patrons who keep the show going and sponsors and the people that support them. And thanks for listening as I tuck you in here and say, hey, instead of sleeping tight, sleep warm or chill. And as you will, and on with another episode if you need something. Good night.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.